11 o'clock up.
Of Wilde and Tausch. Begins now. I just want to state this for the record before we talk to the Catman. I have been fine with the slings and arrows that I have received for saying that I want Caleb Williams to be good. I don't mind that people don't like that take. I'm okay with that. I love the idea of this rivalry becoming hot and heavy. Like the, what was that, a saxophone player on Seinfeld with Elaine? What, hot and heavy? Isn't that the song he writes?
Yeah, well, jazz musician, I believe.
Yeah.
Although, it wasn't on Comedy Central. They had the great comedy Yellowstone on last night instead. So
that is what I would like to see, but I got to be honest. I'm not seeing it right now. Maybe that'll change soon, and maybe it'll take a different coaching staff to do it. We're not even leaving this to chance of a cell phone connection because we know how it
there
went.
There he is.
Free for
Look
first.
At all the Chicago greats up there. Look at that.
There
Frank Thomas, Sweetness, Jordan, Cap. Look at that.
He's covering up Jordan in his painting, too.
There's Mike right there.
All right, Cap, it's great to have you as a teammate. It's great to have you on the show. But in the immortal words of Vince Lombardi talking about the Packers back then, now I'm going to ask it about the Bears. What the hell's going on down there with your football team?
It's a freaking train wreck, and it starts with the head coach. He's horrible. He's truly horrible. Look, they have got this young kid at quarterback who now has got PTSD, sacked 9 times yesterday. I'm not going to tell you all 9 are on the offensive line because that's not true. Does he hold the ball at times too long? Yes. But if you watch the broadcast, Daryl Johnson, who I thought did a great job, would freeze it and go, not open, not open, not open, not open. I'm watching DJ Moore, who I like him as a player. He's embarrassing himself, whether it's he literally, in I believe the Washington game, ran to the, he was like not, he doesn't run hard in his routes. That's one. Two, he got paid $27.5 million a year before the season. Three, he steps out of bounds, so he goes over and sits down on the bench. I mean, like, what is going on here? Cole Kmet yesterday runs a little hook route, maybe 15 yards. Cole Kmet's 250 pounds. He's a beast. And he tiptoes as he gets to the D-back, who's like 190 pounds. Hit him and make your turn. No, he lets him get right there, get his hand in. So, again, Caleb hasn't been great the last 3 weeks, but we've seen him look good. He's got an incompetent offensive coordinator. This guy's truly awful. In Shane Waldron, I don't believe he'll be calling plays when we play Green Bay on Sunday at Soldier Field. But the head coach, it's a train wreck, and he's got to go.
Is this so hope was springing so eternal down there. Does that make this even worse right now for you? I mean, I am not, let me be very clear. I am not rejoicing in you. I am not,
this is not
a Schadenfreude show. No, it really isn't. I want your team to be, and you know, when I go on Waddle and Sylvie and they call the Packers my team, they're not my team. I just cover that team. But I know you care about this team. And it's gotta just suck.
Yeah, it completely blows. I mean, it's horrible. And then we have to do the coaches show every week. Every week I get up at 4 a.m., I get my coffee, I walk one of my dogs, and I get in the car, I drive downtown, and my wife says as I'm leaving, you have to interview the head coach again today? Yeah, hon, I do. What are you going to ask him? It's not going to go well, so I have no idea. And he, like today, we get him on, and it's a cell phone you can't hear. Put him on hold, reestablish. Cell phone you can't hear. Finally, the third time I said, Coach, I asked you last week, are you in crisis? You pushed back and said, no. If this isn't the definition of a crisis, then I don't know what you're watching. He starts getting broken up on the cell phone again, and I said, Coach, your cell phone's as bad as your offense. and bam, he was gone. That was the end of that. See you later. Thanks for coming. It's a train wreck. It is an absolute train wreck. And if they don't fire this guy, then they are truly telling you they don't care.
So why not do it now? If this is all the case and you're kind of rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, oh, it's Waldron's fault. Why not just say, you know what? Bam, let's go. We'll finish up this season, and then we're going to open this bad boy up. What are you doing keeping him now if this is how everybody feels? Because I can't imagine when you're talking about the wide receiver not finishing a play and sitting on the bench. These guys are professionals. And if that's what they're feeling now, it's on them. They can't do that. But that is, it seems like taking over the locker room, that is poison.
Okay, so you played and played at a very high level. And, Jason, I used to do shows with Tausch when he was still playing. Yes. You remember those, Tausch? We'd go to the Puppy Bear and do these shows.
Yeah, so old Coach Eck.
So you've been in rooms at the highest level and achieved at the highest level. Okay, after the Washington game, Cole Kmet, who I like very much, Cole Kmet comes out and says, yeah, to be honest with you, I don't think every guy was going full out in practice in prep. And then he said, if you're supposed to do 6 reps in the weight room, are you only doing 5? What are you doing in the darkness when no one's watching? And that wasn't well received by the fan base. They're like, oh, my God, what are you saying? Then DJ Moore talks about, you know, I don't understand what we're doing here with our game prep. Then Jalen Johnson, all-pro corner. He's a beast. He's a phenomenal player. He said, yeah, to be honest with you, I didn't think we did a good job in our game prep getting ready for the football game. And then you have Eberflus on with us. You guys all saw the video of Tyreek Stevenson off playing with the crowd in the corner.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Coach, you had 3 timeouts left. Why would you not take a timeout to make sure everything was set the way you wanted it? His response, we didn't need a timeout, guys. We had everything the way we wanted. I said, Coach, with all due respect, I got to push back on you. You had Tyreek Stevenson in the freaking corner playing with the fans. How can you tell me that? And if you didn't see it, when you watched the tape, you saw it. And if your blood's not boiling, then I don't know what you're doing, Coach. And, of course, I'm the bad guy because I say that. But that's the freaking truth. Like, when you've got players openly questioning what's going on, that tells you all you need to know about the state of the franchise.
Well, and the other thing about not giving up the 15 yards before that, because Daniels, he doesn't get the ball to the end zone, and even with all of the other stuff that went wrong, and I think that's what broke that locker room, is when you have a game that you competed your tail off and you had, and the coaches let you down. Now, it's always it's a player's game, but when the coaches let you down, all of the belief and trust in that staff went bye-bye when that ball was caught in the end zone, and from there, it's over. You're not getting that back, so you're now just playing the string out. Doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I completely agree. So let me paint a picture for you why we're so inept offensively. We're playing the Indianapolis Colts. It's 4th and inches at the 5-yard line. In a game, you're struggling to score. Roschon Johnson, who's a hard, tough, you know, hard-nosed, tough kid. Boom, he picks up the first down. What do? We take him out of the game. We hand the ball to Khalil Herbert, who, by the way, basically didn't dress from that game on. We go wildcat on the first play, pick up a couple. We hand it to him again, pick up a couple. Now you've got it 3rd and goal at the 1, and we ask DeAndre Carter, who weighs 175 pounds, can you please block Tyquan Lewis from Ohio State, coming off the edge, who's 6'5", 267, and he literally takes him and drives him right back into Khalil Herbert for a loss of a yard. Now it's 4th down, and our brainiac offensive coordinator runs a speed option that loses 12 yards. Turnover on down. My question is, if Roschon Johnson was the guy on 4th and inches at the 5, why would you not 4 straight times take the football and run it right down your throat? And if you stop me with our defense, we've got you down at the 1-yard line. But they don't think like that. It's just utter idiocy. And then in the Washington game, we're struggling to score, and they decide to hand the ball to an offensive lineman, no disrespect, Tausch, who's never carried the ball in his life, and he fumbles it. And, of course, we end up losing the football game.
I was just going to say, you can't please Cap. He gives it to the guy he's too small. Then you give it to the guy he's too big. Like, you know, at some point, Cap, you got to throw your hands up in the air and say, well, they're trying different stuff. But how tough was it this morning for you to basically tell the head football coach, and obviously they're on our air down in Chicago, was it tough to just be that blunt?
It was not, because while I respect the effort, I respect the sanctity of the job. I'm a former college basketball coach, so I empathize with what he goes through. What he says makes no sense. And then when you disrespect our show and our station by going on with a cell phone that is, you can't hear the guy, that's just disrespectful. That is. That's just BS. And so I finally said, I had enough. Coach, your cell phone's as bad as your offense. He was gone.
That's a great walk-off.
Talking with David Kaplan of our ESPN Chicago, ESPN 1000 team. First of all, in case you're wondering, and I know you are, John Shoup currently is the head coach of the Munich Ravens in the European League of Football. In case you guys are looking to upgrade your offensive coordinator situation, because he was the standard bearer for bad offensive coordinators in Chicago. Like, he makes Luke Getsy look like Lombardi.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. And somewhere, getting paid by the Raiders and the Bears, I'm sure, Luke Getsy's having a laugh this morning going, oh, I thought it was all my fault. Yeah. I mean, it's just a train wreck here. But here's the difference. I was talking to Olin Kreutz last night. You can go out and hire Ben Johnson or go get this guy. Those are flavor of the day. Matt, what's the difference between Ben Johnson and Matt Nagy? Matt Nagy was the hot name when we hired him. You need an ass kicker who says, I'm changing the culture in the building. I'm not going to tolerate any of your nonsense going forward. That, to me, of the guys available, is Mike Vrabel. I asked the player on the Bears who played for him. He said, complete a-hole, but I can promise you, he holds you accountable.
That's what I say about Taos when he's not listening.
Cap, can you do that with this ownership group, though?
Tell me why you can't. You hired Kevin Warren.
Well, because why haven't you? Why have you not in the past? Like, what is it? It's been the same thing. You guys, it's rinse, lather, repeat over and over and over. There hadn't been anybody since Ditka that's had that culture.
Correct.
Is it? I mean, Lovey did a good job for a certain, but your offenses still weren't very good. When it was Lovey, it was always the defenses that did it.
Because we've always had to have a guy who plays nice in the sandbox and is, you know, a good guy, and he'll be good with the fan base and with the sponsors. I don't care about any of that anymore. Whether it was my dear friend, Dave Wannstedt, I love. He's the nicest guy in the world. Dick Geron, good guy. Lovey, good guy. Trestman, completely in over his head. By the way, the day they hired him, the rumor was out that they were going to hire him. It wasn't yet done. I had a phone number for Tim Brown. I called Tim Brown. And I said, excuse me, we've never spoken. I host a show in Chicago. Could I get you on? Sure. I said, I want to talk some football with you. I figured he already knew. I start the interview. I know you were coached by Mark Trestman, and we're hearing he's getting the Bears job, and you hear this giggling. And he goes, wait, what? I said, Mark Trestman's going to be a new coach of the Bears. He said, there is zero chance that will ever work. That dude can't command a room. He'll make his speeches from the back of the room. That is a horrible hire. I'm like, oh, my God. You played for the guy. And then you go to John Fox. He was a golden parachute getting one more paycheck. It's an idiotic hire. And then you go to Matt Nagy, nice guy. And then we go to this clown that we've got now. How about getting somebody that doesn't play nice in the sandbox, but guess what? He holds the secretaries, the ticket office, and everyone in between accountable. Might be a novel approach.
So let me you've given this some thought, clearly.
Yes.
I have two questions. One, you get Caleb. You know you've got the number one overall pick. You know you're drafting Caleb Williams, right? We're not going to pretend that there was a debate between him and Jaden Daniels. I understand Jaden Daniels is having success. But you know you've got the number one pick. Why not start over then, right away, right? Because you did this, with Matt Nagy too, right? Then you got Matt Nagy, then you get Justin Fields. Like, it's not that pattern does not work. You could give and look, I understand where you're coming from on an ass kicker. Mike Holmgren was both, right? He commanded a room, he was an ass kicker, but he was also a brilliant offensive mind who had worked for Bill Walsh. Ben Johnson, I understand, does not seem like an ass kicker. I don't know him at all. But man, would I love to have a guy that smart who is doing what he's doing with that Lions offense, being in charge of my new offense with my new star quarterback that I took with the number one overall pick. So my question is, Why did you stick with this guy? I mean, not you, but the Bears. And what? So your recommendation is get Vrabel and get some smart offensive coordinator work for him. Is that fair?
I would like to at least talk to him. Again, I don't know the difference between Ben Johnson and Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy's got Patrick Mahomes going, that guy's the greatest guy in the world. He helped my development. Well, who wouldn't be interested if you could turn so-and-so into Patrick Mahomes? Sure. He's amazing. He's the best quarterback maybe ever. What I'm telling you is the Bears don't like to be uncomfortable, and they need to learn to be uncomfortable. And this guy is an awful football coach. He may know defense. You don't get to this level not know football. But as a leader of men, oh, please don't make me puke.
I feel like Cap is perfectly comfortable being uncomfortable.
It seems like everything's going swimmingly. How is this the worst it's been in your – listen, you've been Mr. Chicago sports forever. But is this – I feel like this is about as bad as the Bears have been psychologically and their fans in a while. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, if you leave the decision to take Mitch and leave Patrick Mahomes on the board, and then when Mahomes becomes
tough.
We're like, oh, God, we could have had that.
Yep.
If you leave that to the side in terms of expectation level, like we all thought, this is a really good football team. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, mm-hmm. Cole Kmet, like DeAndre Swift. Like, we got talent, top 10 defense. And this is probably the season with expectation. Like, when that boob Trestman was here, like, there was no expectation level in year two. It was a train wreck. John Fox, the whole thing was a train wreck. Nagy, once we knew Mitch wasn't the guy, train wreck. And then in 2022, when Poles came in, they gutted it. They were trying to lose. And they made the great trade with Carolina. But in the end, the offensive line issues fall at Ryan Poles' feet. I mean, you look at the Lions, you talk about Ben Johnson, Penei Sewell, Frank Ragnow, and I could keep Taylor Decker. And guess what we run out there? Nate freaking Davis and all these guys who – Nate Davis doesn't even want to practice. He's gotten to the point where they're not even letting him dress. They gave him $30 effing million dollars.
Ooh.
I mean, my God, can we fatten Tauscher up and get him in there? Please.
Well, I don't need to fatten up. It's lean up. But so last one for me, Cap. And I asked this before we knew you were going to jump on. Jordan Love sat for 3 years and developed it. I don't even want to compare Green Bay to Chicago. It's a mess. But had Patrick Mahomes been drafted by the Bears, mm-hmm. is he Patrick Mahomes or is he Trubisky?
He's a dope with a B on his head. Truly, he's a dope with a B on his hat. That's it. We're incompetent at developing quarterbacks. Incompetent at doing it. We've never done it. I'm not telling you that Patrick Mahomes would have been better than Mitch Trubisky. He would have been. But to say that he would develop with no Andy Reid, no Alex Smith, no Tyreek Hill, no Travis Kelce, he would not be what he is today.
So is Caleb Williams, and he showed some flashes this year, but obviously it's been struggle city the last couple weeks. Is it just a matter of don't get him completely crushed and lose all sense of confidence for whoever comes in next? Or do you think that ship is already starting to sail?
Certainly his confidence has been shaken. There's no mm-hmm. question. But you cannot allow Shane Waldron one more day to call one more play. You can't. Now, Thomas Brown was, you know, a play caller in Carolina. A lot of people in the league think he's a really, really good guy and smart football coach. But, I mean, I don't know how you fix this right now. For me, Eberflus would not have been able to come to the building this morning except to clean out his office. Period. Done. See you later. Shane, get in the back seat of the car with him and gone. Here's your money. Here's the cardboard box. Get the F out of my building. That's how you hold people accountable. But they don't. That's the Chicago Bears in a nutshell.
All right, Cap, we will let you go on this because you've made your position relatively clear.
I think it's crystal clear.
I feel like I got kind of a basic ballpark idea of how you're feeling.
It's not nothing lukewarm about Cap, it doesn't feel like. It's pretty
He's like the anti-Wildy, right? Like he
is 100% anything. That is so true.
The Bears go into their bye week at 4-2. Now, I understand at the time all the teams that they beat were one-win teams. Mm-hmm. But they come out of the bye. They have the loss to the Commanders, which you so eloquently discussed. Then you lose at Arizona 29-9. Now it's 19-3 to another bad team in the Patriots. I'm curious. We know where you stand now. Where were you going into the bye week? Like, were you drinking some of the Kool-Aid, or did you already have a sense of, this feels like fool's gold to me, and I'm a little worried that the bottom's going to fall out? Because the bottom clearly fell out in Washington with the way
that
happened.
Yeah, probably a combination of both. Prior to us running Roschon Johnson into the end zone with 31 seconds left, I thought, all right. You get that victory, and all of a sudden, wow, you're doing all right. You're 5-2. You still had the hardest remaining schedule left in the NFL. You've got to play Green Bay twice, Minnesota twice, Detroit twice, Seattle, and San Francisco's on the road. So I wouldn't say that I was full of optimism, but I thought, all right, you'll be okay. Instead, the rig is off the rails, period.
If they fire Eberflus today, who would be the head coach? Because the one thing that I would be worried about as a Packers fan is that they did make that move and that would juice that locker room, and I'm the team that's coming in to play them in Soldier Field on Sunday.
I'm guessing it would be either Eric Washington, the DC, or Richard Hightower, the special teams coordinator. We've got John Hoke, who's been in the league forever and is really well-respected. I mean, there's not a lot of sterling candidates that you go, that guy's going to galvanize the room. But I do think it would absolutely send a message, A, of accountability, B, I think guys are done playing for Eberflus, and it's right, we're going to do this, right, we got to execute better, right? No, coach, it's not right. Get out.
It's good to know that that's what he sounds like, since you wouldn't have known that from today's interview.
Yeah, get a freaking landline. Quit embarrassing yourself.
Cap, we love you, buddy. And we're not,
Cap,
we're not reveling in your frustration.
No, we are.
But we are entertained.
No. You might not be. Packer fans. No, we are.
Hey, I'm a Wisconsin guy. I got a house in Oshkosh.
I know you do. Jason and I are going to come this summer. We're going to get out to the lake with Cap.
Can't wait to get an invitation. This is the first time I've even heard of that house existing. Cap, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Appreciate, love being your teammates.
God, he's so good.
Oh, the best.
He is so good.
I mean, you talk about sound graphs, Jesse. There's six sound graphs. I didn't even bother sending it. It was like sound graphs.
Where do you even start?
The Bears stink, guys, and I think the big thing that they have to worry, and again, it's a Packers show. We obviously play the Bears this weekend. I was kind of with you. I was hoping that this was going to be one of those, you know, the rivalry would start building up a little bit. I still want to beat the heck out of the Bears.
Sure.
But the fact that they are now by far the third in the rivalry game, and it's not close in our division, it's not close. Detroit has surpassed everybody because of their last season and where they're at. Minnesota, the Bears are, and Homer said this a few years ago, until the Bears get their blank together, they've kind of dipped off the radar. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody, the Packers will say all the right things this week. The Packers know the Bears have kind of, that it's, they're not very good. They're one of the worst teams in the league. And when you play the Patriots at home, and can only score 3 points, yeah, it's going to be an ugly week for the Bears.
There is not enough Coors Lights in Chicago to make Bears fans feel better right now.
No, there's not, but there's plenty to enjoy here in Wisconsin. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue. It's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. That's what is Coors Light in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We'll play a little Take It to the Bank and a little Whoa Nelly still to come. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Thanks again to David Kaplan of our ESPN Chicago team, ESPN 1000. I don't want to tell fans how to feel. And we'll play Take It to the Bank tomorrow, presented by Associated Bank. But I hope that watching that train wreck, as he kept calling it, when the Bears fan base's hope and optimism had been elevated to such a degree, right? We finally got our guy. And look, your point about Patrick Mahomes, you can insert Jordan Love into that same equation, like Mitch Trubisky and I don't know about Justin Fields. I hope that at least at some point while reveling in the Bears' misery, you also pause to thank your lucky stars that you were born in Wisconsin or born into a Packers fan family, and that the Packers have gotten it right so much more than the Bears have. Because I can't imagine what it's like to be a Bears fan. It's one thing to be miserable because you know your team is just not going to be very good. It's another thing to get your hopes sky high that you finally are going to turn the corner, and then this happens. I don't know how you cope with that if you're a fan. I don't. I'd be curious what your advice would be.
Well, it's a reset. And I think Bears fans are sick of it. And until they change their approach, I tried to tell them, and I know you could say, well, Washington played Jaden Daniels and it's worked for them.
And
but
it has.
The Bears have done this now over and over. It has not worked. And you have all of the, you know, you have all this stuff that you think is going to work, and you're going to go down another path where you have a coach fired. It takes some time to understand. You need to get in unison with play caller and quarterback. And when you do a full season and then you decide this isn't working, you reset the clock again. And eventually, ding dong, the clock strikes midnight, and you're sitting there with blah. That's what the Bears continually do. And why they would think this would be different, they do need to get the next hire right. And I would disagree with Cap on the ownership part of it, because that's where it starts. And I don't know what they have there. It's a rudderless ship. And they keep banging into these big concrete cauldrons in the middle of Lake Michigan. And they're putting duct tape on and they're trying to redo it. It's just not going to work. Eventually, the ship sinks. They got to go and build a new ship, and that takes time. And in a world and in a league that is not patient, then you keep chasing. And you start saying, well, we got to have the ship in. We got to have the ship built by August. Well, we're going to have it, but you're not going to have this, this, this. And then next thing you know, you put it out to water, and you expect to get to your destination, but you don't have the navigation, you don't have it, and the ship is going to sink again, and then you're going to be sitting back again, and it's going to be the same blanking thing, and that is what happens to Chicago Bears.
Yeah, again, I don't know where they go from here. I think he made, you can disagree if you want with his point about ownership, but I think he made a pretty compelling case for they're not, this. There's no point in keeping the same structure and the same head coach and the same offensive coordinator in place at this point. Like,
no,
it's over.
It's over.
And it was over the minute he didn't call timeout.
Your guys haven't bought in, or when they did, it's over. Like, you're talking about your best wide receiver. He literally was getting a Gatorade as Caleb Williams is still scrambling on a play. And he just mentioned other players that it's in that same boat. And you know what? From a Packer fan standpoint, you're not going to feel sorry. You just go and you bury them early this week. That's what you go do. When you have a team that's in this situation, you bury them quick.
Mm-hmm.
Start fast and suffocate them. Whatever analogy you want to utilize, this needs to be a quick Sunday.
We'll get to Woe Nelly coming up. I want to remind you, I was just trading text messages over the weekend with my buddy Ben Sorensen over at Associated Bank. He takes great care of us because he works at Associated Bank, and they take great care of everyone, not just Paula and the girls and me. Everybody. They've got the customer service awards to prove it. And, of course, they've also got all kinds of other great reasons to make the switch, including Packers checking, Badgers checking, Brewers checking, and early pay, which allows you to get access to your money from your direct deposit from your employer up to 2 days early. So, as they like to say, you got this with Associated Bank. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time now to move on from our Bears talk and do some Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Now let's talk about a team that's doing much better, the Milwaukee Bucks. They're 2-8. And would have been a good third answer to our trivia question earlier about which team got the 10 wins, the fastest in franchise history, because they're nowhere near it. Head coach Doc Rivers, after yesterday's loss at home against the Celtics, in which the Bucks led by double digits before then falling in the end 113-107.
Can't sustain, you know, the Cleveland game. We came out like gangbusters, and as the game goes on, we just don't sustain our play. Like, the game plan against Cleveland was great coming out, and we lost it. The game plan coming out tonight, again, was great, and then we lose our way. And so it's my job to try to make sure we keep going, keep playing at the right pace. We didn't do that.
Tausch, when are we supposed to panic?
No, it's now. I think it's time. It's panic city. There's no R-E-L-A-X with what's going on. And I know people say, well, the schedule is really tough. Cleveland twice. They're undefeated. Boston a couple times. And that can be fair. But teams that are going to be championship contenders, they're not going to start 2-10. They're not. Can you reboot? And I know Chris Middleton's been, you know, unable to play. We got old. We got old quick, and we're unathletic. So, do I think that we're going to be one of the worst teams in the league? No, I don't. Do I think that we'll scrap and find a way to win some games and, you know, get into that bottom half of the Eastern Conference playoffs? Yeah, I do. But it's going to be a lot of work, and I just don't feel overly confident with where this group is right now. And what's going to change? How is it going to get a lot better? Schedule? Well, like I always say, people are going to look and say, well, we got the Bucks on the schedule. They're 2-10. I don't think we've reached that point yet. But the NBA didn't put us on Christmas. Maybe they knew something.
Yeah, not the 10-game start you're looking for. I have not watched them closely. I have not reached out to our buddy Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy, to ask him what the heck's wrong with this team. But this is the exact opposite of what we were told, right? Now, I understand Chris Middleton being out is a factor there. But, like, the whole idea was Dame had an entire offseason to work so he could be in better shape. They now are familiar with Doc Rivers. They brought back Darvin Ham. Like, all the things that were supposed to make things better, and the results aren't there. I think that that's a really tough hole to climb out of, but there's, I hate to be Mr. Positive, but there's a hell of a lot of season left. I'm not sure that I would give up on them just yet.
Whoa, Nelly!
Toronto tomorrow night. It's a winnable game.
Yeah, I think Toronto stinks, right?
I think so.
But they're better record than Milwaukee as we sit here.
Well, yeah, we stink right now, so... Yep. Tough to say anyone else stinks when we're 2-8. You know who else stinks?
Very, very, very frustrating.
Jason, you asked for this earlier. Here's Micah Parsons after yesterday's Cowboys. What was it? 34-6 ended up being the final?
That was the final. Yep.
Lost to the Philadelphia Eagles.
It wasn't actually.
That's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
Whew. Wow. Like, is it possible he didn't realize how harsh that sounded? Or is that it sounded exactly the way he meant it to sound?
I'm not going to lie to you. I know he is a talent. Obviously, he's great. He's missed some time this year.
Mm-hmm.
With Dallas as they're sitting where they're at, I would trade him tomorrow. I know you can't. You have to wait till now the trade deadline
is passed. Yeah,
I would trade him before the draft and try to get a bunch of picks because you're paying CeeDee and Dak big time money. You're going to pay him with a team you know you're not going to be very good. Like, you think those three guys taking up 50% of the salary cap, which is probably even underestimating if they don't rework stuff. I don't like his. I think he is of the belief that he is like the next great thing. And last year he started off red hot. Teams run at him constantly. Like, that is the game plan. Well, great pass rusher, just run at him. And the Packers did that last year and they smoked him.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy deserves a lot of respect. I understand how this business works. He's going to lose his job. We kind of anticipated that in the beginning of the season because they didn't give him a new deal.
Correct.
And coaches don't have lame duck. It just doesn't happen. So it was the writing was on the wall. Even if Dallas had a good year and made the playoffs, he didn't win a championship. This was his last year in Dallas. So Mike's going to be fine, but very besmirchy, very condescending, and get out there and help your team win. This is the time you need to just need to go play. And for you to make those comments, that's why you don't want podcasters in your locker room.
Yeah,
you don't.
You're right. And again, we'll see what happens in the remaining weeks. But Jerry Jones on the record again saying that he does not plan on making a coaching change during the season. They are now without Dak Prescott, most likely for the rest of the year. Cooper Rush, not very good. It was ugly.
Trey
I saw
Lance
some of that game.
Stinks.
Trey Lance. I don't know what the 49ers were doing. I think they were planning on getting Aaron Rodgers, and then they didn't. And they drafted Trey Lance, and they're lucky that Brock Purdy.
And somehow it still has worked out for them.
Yeah, pretty remarkable.
Their team's getting old quick, too.
You're not wrong, but they're not quite too old yet, I'm guessing, for this season. All right, we'll wrap things up. That's Woe Nelly. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
A lot of love for Cap on my social media, Twitter. Again.
How about YouTube? How was the YouTube stream chat with Cap?
I have not looked at that. I was busy trying to get some other things resolved, including looking at this item from Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show. Now, I do not think that they are firing Matt Eberflus, but maybe they are. Here is, I'm quoting Adam Schefter via the Pat McAfee show's Twitter feed. The Bears have been engaged today in conversations about what is the best way for them to move forward as a franchise. I would expect there will be some kind of change in Chicago on the offensive side of the football. Now, that does not mean a change in the head coach, but Waldron is donezo.
Is it Waldron or Cauldron?
It's bubbling.
I've been calling him Cauldron all day.
It's Waldron.
Nobody has corrected me. I've said Cauldron all day. God, they stink. I don't know. I don't think Packer fans are ever going to feel bad for Bears fans. But this was so predictable. This is just, it's so predictable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And with that, we start Packers-Bears week. Now watch them go out. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. We'll see what happens on Sunday.
You're starting, but Soldier I think Field. You insinuated it earlier this week.
Uh-oh.
When I said the Bears ain't beating anybody, and you kind of were like,
"I just don't love I don't love overconfidence." That's
you
all
went
I'm
like
saying.
This.
I don't love overconfidence. Don't get overconfident. That's all I'm saying. We'll talk about it more tomorrow.
I'm overconfident.
I appreciate you acknowledging that.
So
Soundgraph.
So
if they lose on
so
Sunday,
are Packer fans.
I want to see that I'm overconfident played in a loop.
We're not losing to this version of the Bears. I feel really confident about that.
Somewhere, 24-year-old Jason Wilde on the bus to Jack Murphy Stadium agrees. That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.